Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I am Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pinetop Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. You may email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pinetop Church of Christ, 1102 Pinetop Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Today, Jordan Davis will be speaking at the 9:45 and 4:30 services. We discussed the religious division that is in our society in last week's program. The 15 most recent programs are on our website, www.pinetopcoc.org, on the radio program page for you to listen to again or to refer to a friend. In last week's program, we noted that the conflicting doctrines that many view as normal and some even as good, are contrary to the prayer Jesus prayed on the night he was betrayed, recorded in John chapter 17, where in verses 20 and 21, Jesus prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." We also noted that the conflicting doctrines taught today are not obeying the command of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, where he wrote, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." This instruction is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or by his authority. Therefore, to fail to obey the exhortation of Paul is to fail to obey Jesus. Today, let's search the Scripture to see what the Scriptures tell us about obeying God. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Since Jesus is not physically on earth to speak today as he was in the first century, how does God speak to us by his Son today? Before he was crucified, Jesus promised his disciples in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." A very popular doctrine in many religious groups today is that a person is saved when they simply believe in Jesus. Some will even say that if we are required to obey anything, then we're not saved by grace. However, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In this verse, Jesus places obeying His commandments as a condition to abiding in His love. The inverse of this would say that if we do not obey His commandments, we will not abide in His love. As the apostle was on his way to Rome in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, Paul told the elders from Ephesus when he met with them at Miletus, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Had Paul only declared part of the counsel of God to the Ephesians, he would not have been pure from the blood of all men. He continued to admonish them in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Then in verses 29 and 30, he told them, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Paul said that they would speak perverse things, or things that were not according to the truth. Why would they do this? Paul said to draw away disciples after them, or to have people be their disciples, not the disciples of Jesus. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he told Timothy to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Then in verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told Timothy that people would not endure or continue in sound doctrine, or that which God had revealed, but would seek teachers who would teach what would please them according to their lust. No doubt they would find comfort in that teaching because it was what they wanted to hear. But Paul said that they had turned their ears away from the truth. They refused to believe and accept the truth, preferring instead to hear and believe fables. During his personal ministry on earth, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus said that the way which leads to life is narrow, and the majority will not find it. Jesus said that most will follow the way that leads to destruction. How can we know which way we're on? In Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, we read the parable that Jesus spoke of the soils or the sower. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And the sun was up, they were scorched, and because that they had no root in them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And as they heard this parable, they could no doubt think back to when they had sown some seed. But Jesus explained this parable to his apostles in verses 18 through 23. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. James said in chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If we receive the inspired word of God in a good and honest heart, it will be the engrafted word and cause us to be doers of the word, or to be obedient to God's commands. When the inspired word of God is mixed with traditions, doctrines, and practices of men, it could be compared to our purchasing seed to sow a field, perhaps orchard grass. And if that seed is mixed with Canadian thistles, we would not have the harvest we desired. If we follow a religious group that has doctrines, traditions, and practices that are of men, when we stand before God on the day of judgment, we will not have the harvest we desire. When the pure word of God is sown in good and honest hearts, it will produce the same thing as it did in the first century. Disciples being obedient to all of God's commands, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will be one as Jesus and the Father are one. We will all speak the same thing with no divisions among us, as Paul commanded the Corinthian brethren. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context. Consider all the inspired writer said and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then in verse 21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them not, keepeth them, he is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then in verse 24, Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what His commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before Him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being part of this study. Come to Pine Top today to hear Jordan Davis. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.